This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Ladies and gentlemen, Orange Bloods, welcome back to the Deep Dig Podcast here on the Yak. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm the lead football analyst at orangebloods.com. I'm the co-founder at Roster Watch, the new media chairman for the Pro Football Writers of America, and the father to two young children, one old lab Rottweiler mix mutt, and one 19-year-old fiberglass swimming pool. And for today's Deep Dig podcast, first let me start off and say I'm sorry that these haven't come out with the same frequency. I've just been so busy these last couple of weeks with the Senior Bowl. I've had a ton of stuff pulling me in a ton of different directions with some different family obligations and also, work. And with this podcast, just let me tell you guys, if there's anybody out here who likes the podcast and who'd like to support the podcast and maybe be a sponsor, you can always email me, alex@rosterwatch.com. There's definitely ways we could work up a sponsorship deal for very, very little cash to you, I think. I mean, I would have to pass it on to the salespeople at the Yak, but I think something workable could happen to where, if you like the podcast, hey, why not sponsor the podcast? And I'd come in and I would talk about your product and whatever else. And at least then we would know there would be like a certain day or certain days, every week that it would come out. As it is right now, I try and get it out as often as possible. And here we are, episode 50. Again, potential sponsors, email me. alex@rosterwatch.com. And for this one, I figure we'll just talk about the new version 2 of the projected depth chart for offense that I put out today on Orange Bloods. As we kind of go through this, I'm sure that there'll be other things that pop up and different tangents that we'll go off on. But I think that the framework of this pod is going to be the version 2 of the offense and how it differs from version 1. Because there has been news. And let me say first off, people on the board asked me whether or not this update has to do with my evaluations of these players or whether it has to do with inside info that we've gotten from the program or that we've been able to obtain from people around the program. And my answer to that question is always, well, for one, does that seem like a kind of weird thing to ask about where somebody's, my job's to give the content. It's not necessarily to come to you telling you exactly how I've come to the content or how I've managed to draw certain conclusions. And that's kind of what I thought. This is a post in this thread that I don't have to answer. But then I thought more and more about it. And that question is kind of smart. That's a nuanced question. That's not somebody saying, how much money do you make? Or how much time do you spend on this part of your job versus this part of your job? If somebody asked me something like that, I say, dude, go fuck off. Worry about your own job. But, and that's generally my instinct, even though I would never do that on Orange Bloods because everybody there's a paying member. And last thing I would ever want to do is castigate anybody there. What does even castigate mean? See, I catch myself using these goddamn words that I don't even know what they mean. Castigate means reprimand somebody severely. So I'm glad I used it well, even though I called myself out for not. Ross, edit that out. No, you don't have to. But, the last thing I'm going to do is castigate somebody on Orange Bloods for asking me a question about my process or anything like that, because the fact of the matter is I've been a member of that community since 2004, I kind of know everybody there. They're just asking me what they're being real. And what somebody asked was, are these updates to version 2 versus version 1.0, are these updates due to your personal evaluations of these players, or are they due to inside information or information that you've gathered from around the program about what's actually going to happen? And the answer I gave that guy was, you know, unequivocally, this update is about what I've heard, you know, not about what I think. Version 1, that was what I think. Version 2 is a reaction to what I think based on what I've heard. And so we're going to talk about the offensive personnel and the projected depth chart, version 2, the spring football 2019 depth chart projection here on this day, the day of our Lord, the year of our Lord 2019, the day February 12th, the evening of February 12th. This is what I know up to the minute at this point in time. This is the deep dig, and we will start out with the quarterback position. Sam Ehlinger, clearly, I mean, this is easy. Sam Ehlinger, Casey Thompson, Roschon Johnson. That's it. That's what it's going to be for the springtime. I don't see Johnson overtaking Thompson. I don't see Thompson overtaking Ehlinger, clearly. Ehlinger should come into this year as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm sure he'll be on the initial watch list. If Jalen Hurts is on the initial watch list, I guarantee you that Ehlinger should be. So I don't think the spring football, for once in the last few years, is not going to have any drama at the quarterback position. As for the running back depth chart, this thing's gotten a little bit thin, man. It's gotten a little bit thin. And it seems like it does every year, right? Do you remember the Tonio Carter spring game year where every single scholarship player was hurt except for early enrollee Tonio Carter? Last year was the same, man. There was a time where Tristan Houston was the guy getting all the reps with the ones. Now Tristan Houston is in the transfer portal. But if history repeats, we are going to get at least, you know, one or two running backs at least kind of banged up during spring football. And when you consider the fact that there are only four scholarship running backs that we have to consider, here's how I have it on the depth chart for now. Keyontae Ingram is the clear one. He's a sophomore. At the number two spot, it's just a little more up in the air. Daniel Young, Kirk, who's a junior, Kirk Johnson, who's a senior, and then Jordan Whittington, who is a freshman, a true freshman, early enrollee. And how these guys all stack up is yet to be seen. How much Jordan Whittington is actually used at running back, aside from slot wide receiver, is yet to be seen. But just isn't it interesting that Kirk Johnson, of all people, the guy that gets injured every single year, the guy who's never involved in spring football, the guy who's never, you know, he's involved in fall camp for a few days, looking just like a jackrabbit. He is the twitchiest, most explosive, dynamic runner that Texas had really seen. And honestly, to this point in time, from what Kirk Johnson was when he was like a healthy freshman and sophomore, I'm not sure, you know, we'll have to see with Whittington when he gets here how he looks as a running back, because we are told that he is going to be used in that way, and he's a real twitchy, explosive guy. But other than Whittington, I mean, Kirk Johnson looked like a better prospect when he was coming in than Keyontae Ingram was when he came in. That's just a fact. I mean, like, he looked better than Tonio Carter, and he came from California, which made things a little bit different. He was overshadowed by his brother Colin that was going to be coming in the next year, but Kirk Johnson was a beast. Look up Kirk Johnson's highlight video from high school, and you'll see he's now a senior, right? And so I find it ironic that the fact that Kirk Johnson's injuries every spring have been the reason for like other players getting elevated up depth charts, at least by one spot, right? It seems like now it's like we have Tristan Houston leaving, we have Kyle Porter leaving. all we have on this depth chart, Keyonte Ingram, Daniel Young, Johnson, and Whittington. Whenever you think about that, you say, wow, this year, Kirk Johnson, as a senior, all of a sudden is the beneficiary of attrition and or injury, at least so far. Boy, let's cross our fingers and hope Kirk Johnson doesn't get injured in winter conditioning drills or anything. Because from what I've heard, the first time coming in completely healthy, and if that's the case, now the only question is, have the recurrent injuries, and there's been two knee injuries, I believe one, was it one reconstruction, one meniscus, one very concerning ankle. And so through all that, could the explosiveness be sapped? It is the Jonathan Gray query. And we're gonna have to see. Jordan Whittington could get a bunch of run as a true freshman this spring, as we'll talk to, because we'll move on here to the slot wide receiver. And so we'll have Josh Moore coming into his sophomore season after flashing big time before getting hurt last year. He had I probably should have this pulled up. I forget which game was the big game, but a couple games where he was targeted often, targeted on one deep route for a touchdown on a beautiful catch. You got him. You have Jordan Whittington. You have, I was going to leave Brew McCoy off of this. So, all right. So, true freshman Jordan Whittington, who's going to be moved around between the slot wide receiver position and the running back position. Although Anwar Richardson at Orange Bloods tends to think that maybe he'll be tilted more towards running back to start, which I'm not still sure of. I have him listed as a guy that's going to compete to start at the slot position, or a guy who is going to compete for sort of 1B duties with Keyonte Ingram at the running back position. So I truly think he can go either way. To know that maybe that 1B running back thing might be his first point of entry into the program here in the spring, very interesting to me. But so you got Whittington as a true freshman. You have Josh Moore as a sophomore. You have Brew McCoy, who by the ranking services is the top 2019 prospect of this class, and he'll be enrolling early. Now, he's not been granted his waiver like some of these other guys, these transfer guys like the Justin Fields and the Tate Martells. But just look, I mean, they're granting these to everybody. And the fact of the matter is, from the way I understand it, you can still practice even without that waiver. So I decided at the very last minute to make sure and get Brew McCoy on there. Underneath them, you have Jordan Pouncey, who, I mean, at this point, if he's going to play slot, seems a little bit buried, right? Especially when you consider that Jake Smith gets here in the summer. Jake Smith, the Gatorade National Player of the Year, the sickest player, probably the sickest, freakiest prospect I've seen since I watched Ed Oliver. I mean, it's that kind of, you know, I don't watch every prospect every single year. I can't. I have my job at Roster Watch. I have my job here. It's like I can't watch every single prospect. I can't be a national recruiting analyst. I watch the players that are of interest to the University of Texas or that are in Ketchum's LSR 100. But, you know, national sort of recruiting, I'm sure there have been tons of these guys that have just come through that have been amazing. But, boy, Jake Smith, it's just amazing. It reminds me of the national guys that I was – you know, that my attention was brought to as they were coming out when I'd seen them at all-star games or I'd just seen their clips, like these guys that look like LeBron James in football, the Jadeveon Clowneys, the Leonard Fournettes, like Jake Smith, his high school highlights fall in that same category. A complete grown man athlete against total boys. So you got him coming in at that slot. What happens with Pouncey? Who knows? Maybe more. Could he move to the Z wide receiver? Who knows? Let's go to the Z. That did not change for me. It's still the same. I feel like that'll be seniors Devin Duvernay and John Burt, followed by redshirt freshman Alvante Woodard, who I was really impressed with when I saw during summer 7-on-7s for two straight years during his time in high school. Not as impressed when I saw him going up against collegiate competition and practices. So I'm going to be very interested to see how Alvante Woodard continues to improve through this season. And if, you know, Moore maybe kind of goes over there and pushes to get reps at that Z wide receiver position. It just seems like it's, you know, they redshirted John Byrd last year so he could come back. Devin Duvernay, probably the fastest guy on the team. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to ask some maybe around about that. But Devin Duvernay is certainly among the fastest guys long speed wise on the whole entire team. It'll be fascinating to watch that one. I just pulled my best Ketchum impersonation, saying it's going to be fascinating. At the X wide receiver, this one's easy, man. This is Colin Johnson, this is Brennan Eagles, and this is Malcolm Epps, and it goes in that order. I did ask specifically last week to a source that was able to give us some information whether or not Malcolm Epps would be moving to tight end, which seems like where he might be a little bit more suited with that big, bulky body. Of course, Colin Johnson, now already, time flies, man. Colin Johnson, a senior. Brennan Eagles, now a sophomore. Malcolm Epps, a redshirt freshman. Malcolm Epps recruited as a tight end. Got that big, bulky, little bit of a lumbering kind of, you know, frame and gait to him. If you wanted to maybe look at the kind of X wide receiver that he would be from a completely optimistic perspective, you might start to think about guys like Alshon Jeffery or Kelvin Benjamin, that type, right, at the NFL level. But that's where he's going to be, and that's for spring, that's a good three at the X. Colin Johnson, Brennan Eagles, Malcolm Epps. I do still believe that Brennan Eagles is going to be a big-time contributor by the time that he's done at Texas. At the tight end position, I can't believe I got so much pushback at tight end today. But people asking if Cade Brewer is capable of stepping up and being the player that Andrew Beck was as the outright starter and not putting Reese. So Cade Brewer, a junior, Reese Leto, a sophomore. And look, from what we've seen out of this staff, they like to use one tight end. That's just what it is. 95% of snaps last year for Andrew Beck, only like 7% of snaps for Cade Brewer. And I know this staff loves Andrew Beck. But the discrepancy in talent between Andrew Beck and Cade Brewer is just not that big. And I know for a fact, from behind the scenes, this staff believes that Cade Brewer could be the type of tight end that they need and that they want. And from what I've seen with my own two eyes, he's got softer hands than Beck. He's a better route runner than Beck. He's twitchier. He's not as strong. He's not as thick. I'm not sure that he has the same drive through the lower part of his body and his run blocking. But I think that Cade Brewer's leverage in run blocking and his understanding of his assignment is better than Beck. Cade Brewer's going to be an upgrade on Andrew Beck this year, despite all the accolades you see thrown on Andrew Beck from Tom Herman and the rest of his staff. So for me, it's easy. It's Cade Brewer, it's Reese Leto, and then we have the freshman early enrollee, Jared Wiley, who should be competing with the sophomore Max Cummins, Rob Cummins. I don't even know what he's called anymore. He came in as Max Cummins on the Texas website. I believe it says Rob Cummins. And he's doing the good old-fashioned move from one side of the football to the next, you know, every year. So we'll see what happens with him. In fairness to Cummins, he looks like a real athletic kid. I need to go on the message boards and kind of make a post about this. I haven't made it clear that I have a little bit of a truther gene in me for Cummins. I think he'll be good. But I think for now, the guy that's on the front, or I'm not saying I think he could be good. What I'm saying is, I certainly think he could be good. I think he is good. I'm not saying he's going to contribute or like compete to start or anything like that, because I think that Herman really has the idea in him right now. Like, it's Brewer and it's Leto, Reese Leto. That seems sort of like what it is, and they only really use one of these guys. But I think Cummins has something there where maybe at some point we're going to see something out of Max Cummins, aka Rob Cummins, aka just maybe Colin Cummins. All right, the offensive line. How do we even start to sort this out? Maybe it's easiest at the left tackle position. At the left tackle spot, I have two guys over there practicing at left tackle in the spring. It'll be Samuel Cosmi, a sophomore, and it will be Reese Moore, a redshirt freshman. And that's a clearly defined number one and number two. In a offensive line of only really two clearly defined ones and twos. At the center position is another. It's going to be Zach Shackelford and Rafidi Girmay. Rafidi Girmay, a redshirt freshman. Zach Shackelford now already, blink your eyes, a senior. Now, let it be noted that R.J. Proctor comes in to visit this weekend, the graduate offensive guard. We have the other graduate, Parker Braun, coming in to visit next week? Maybe the week after? Both of those guys would clearly throw this thing completely into shambles for what we'd be looking at in the fall, but this is a spring depth chart. And this is going to be a good time to see these guys, regardless of any graduate transfers, like Proctor or Braun. Because Braun, have I done a podcast about Parker Braun? I don't think I have. Not here. I haven't. But he's unbelievable. So whenever, like, if he comes, that makes things different. But as we move from left to right to finish out this podcast along the offensive line, at the left guard position, it's not like the left tackle. It's not like the center. The left tackle, Cosmi and Moore. The center, Shackelford, Girmay. And look, from what I'm hearing, Girmay gets all the snaps at center. They like what they've seen out of him. Backup center, of course. At the left guard, it's going to be either redshirt freshman Junior Angelau. It's going to be junior Tope Amadi, or possibly even true freshman Tyler Johnson, who was, before Brew McCoy, I believe, might have been the top ranked recruit in the whole class. And Johnson is a guy who the staff can either see at right tackle or at either one of these guards. I believe probably left guard. And so with Angelau, what do you have? You have a guy with questionable feet, questionable balance, at least based on his Army All-American practices from everything I could take away. But through the course of his freshman season, was lauded by people close to the program as a dude who made all kinds of great steps forward. You have Tope Amadi, a junior who transformed his body maybe more than anybody under Yancey McKnight's new strength and conditioning program. But who maybe people in the program still think is a little bit stiff, and maybe a guy who the staff thinks they still need to see if they can make a football player out of. And then Tyler Johnson, who we just talked about, you know, one of the best prospects in this whole entire class, but a guy who, at least at the tackle position, I did not feel like was ready. Now that I'm thinking about him as possibly at a guard, it kind of opens a new window to, you know, the possibilities that I sort of look out there in view. At the right guard position, I think this one's pretty simple. We have two juniors. It's going to be Derek Kerstetter or Denzel Okafor, or some combination of Angelau, Johnson, Amadi, Kerstetter, Okafor. I don't know what side these guys are going to line up on. But generally, your better run blockers line up on the right. And when you look at Kerstetter, you think to yourself, well, okay, in his, so Kerstetter's now going to be a junior. And you think to yourself, what a kind of a wasted sophomore season for him as a backup, where he was overtaken at right tackle by Samuel Cosmi, who's now going to move to left. Maybe he moves to right tackle, but it seems like that the staff and Herb Hand like him better at guard. But see, with Denzel Okafor also kind of in the mix there. See, he's in the mix there because there are other players at right tackle that could maybe bump Okafor down to guard, which makes things interesting. Because Denzel Okafor's best position as far as his projection to the NFL has always been at offensive guard. He could be a big, long-armed, road-grading offensive guard who was forced to play tackle out of necessity in college. Maybe he, at this point, he might not be forced to play tackle out of necessity at college. But if he's not, that, what does that mean for Kerstetter? Maybe Kerstetter is, do you know what this means? It means Kerstetter could move to left guard over Angelou, over Amadi, over Johnson. So I need to make a note here that Kerstetter isn't play at either guard, right? Or Kerstetter. But if Denzel Okafor were to move down to the right guard position, Denzel Okafor, who redshirted last year, who was able to save another season, now only a junior, the battle for the right tackle position seems like it's going to be starting out between Denzel Okafor and, believe it or not, redshirt freshman Christian Jones. We're hearing talk from inside that football staff that Christian Jones is going to be a viable candidate to play that right tackle. And I told everybody coming out of fall practices, and everybody thought it was so cockamamie, that this kid, I believe, what, 70? Is Christian Jones number 70? Let's see off the top of my head. Let's see. Texas football roster. Let's see. So he's definitely in the 70s. Might be a 71. Let me make sure I had it right, though. Christian Jones, number 70. I said, 70? That kid? Those feet? That length? Look out. And Ketchum said, man, do you know what? I would have never thought that you would have come to me talking about this first day of practice, and the first thing you talked to me about is Christian goddamn Jones. And look, I mean, it is, it's like Herman says, it's not rocket surgery. Length, frame, feet, balance, movement skills, functionally. All of a sudden, we're talking about Christian Jones having a chance to compete at that right tackle spot. And so if he competes at that right tackle spot with Denzel Okafor, Denzel Okafor maybe bumps down to one of these guard spots, then maybe Kerstetter bumps over to that left guard spot. But we're also hearing word that J.P. Urquidez, who came in with Patrick Hudson, who I have taken off of the depth chart because he's taking a leave of absence from the program. I wish him the best, but there's no way he's coming back. And also Tyler Johnson. All those guys are in play. But it seems like it's more of a Denzel Okafor or Christian Jones and then a J.P. Urquidez or Tyler Johnson to back up the starter, if that makes any sense. Because if the starter's Christian Jones, then it would likely be Denzel Okafor at right guard if he could beat out Kerstetter and move Kerstetter over to left, and Kerstetter was able to beat out Angelou, Amadi, and Johnson. Or we would have Okafor at, or we would have Okafor at the tackle and Kerstetter at the guard, with just Jones backing up Okafor and or Cosmi. So look, it's gonna be a continued musical chairs like it always is every single season at Texas with the offensive line. But here's the good news: it's musical chairs with a actual studio conductor, an actual dude who knows what it's like to have that goddamn stick in his hands and make sure that the violins shut the fuck up during the certain part where the, you know, the clarinets have their solo. And that's Herb Hand. And he's going to get the most out of these guys. He's going to find the best five. And as far as the rest of the offense, it looks pretty cut and dry outside of the wide receivers, outside of where Jordan Whittington is going to find himself, whether it's primarily with the running backs, whether it's primarily with the wide receivers. But boy, along that offensive line, we are set to see some shuffling. And you know that I, for certain, and the rest of the crew over at Orange Bloods is going to be on this thing like white on rice. Make sure and stay tuned over there, and make sure to stay tuned right here. My name is Alex Dunlap. This is the Deep Dig Podcast on The Yak.